Well, brothers and sisters, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is the greatest good news in the history of the entire world. Our Lord Jesus was truly dead, crucified, the most horrific and awful death. But it was for us, it was for you, in order to bear your sins. And he was truly buried and lay in that grave. But also on the third day, truly, he rose. He rose, and now everything is different. He is risen, having defeated death and sin. He is the Lord of all. And this is the happy and glorious good news. Why we are here this morning and what we proclaim and why we worship him. It's the most wonderful good news. But the question that I want to ask you this morning, brethren, is what difference does it make to your daily life? What difference does the good news of the resurrection make for you in the day-to-day ups and downs of life? I believe that a lot of us as Christians, we struggle with what I call the reality gap. There's a gap between the truths that we know and cherish, but then how to apply them to the realities of life, to work, home, family, neighbors. And so often it can feel like there's a disconnect between what you might hear on the Lord's Day and then be thrilled by, but then you wake up on a grey Monday morning, the boss is pressurizing you, the children are complaining, the bills are due. What difference does the resurrection make for that moment? And that's what I just want us to consider this morning. The great difference the resurrection makes. The peace, the purpose, and the power that the resurrection gives us as Christians for every day. But before we come to that, I just felt I had to remind you, brothers and sisters, that the resurrection is real. It's real. We live in such a weird world where you can no longer trust your eyes. You know, I just saw a wonderful video this week of President Trump, Keir Starmer, and Vladimir Putin all dancing together. Maybe it was the cha-cha-cha or something like that. Who knew that's what they did? No, of course, but there's all these fake images and fake stories and the fake news and whatever. How do you know it's real? Brothers and sisters, the resurrection is real. It really happened. It's not a myth. It's not a metaphor. It's not a man-made story. It's real. If you look with me at our passage in Luke 24 from verse 36, the scripture records what happened when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to the gathered disciples on the first Lord's day. And one of the main things he set out to do was to show them, to convince them, to demonstrate it was really him and that he was really alive. And the apostles were real eyewitnesses to this. He had a real body. And he really is the Savior of the world. It's a stunning scene to try to imagine. The disciples are meeting, still traumatized and afraid. It's only a few days since the crucifixion. But they're hearing these strange rumors. The women who went to the tomb to wash and anoint the body, they're saying it's empty, that Jesus had appeared to them. And then two other disciples come in. They've been on the road to Emmaus. We've seen him. He's appeared to us. Peter's gone and seen that the tomb is empty. And at that moment, the Lord himself stands in the midst of them. And again, you see how honest the scriptures are. It's this wonderful little human moment. They're even more afraid and think he's some kind of ghost or vision. So he goes out of his way to show them that it's really him, his real body. He says, behold my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me. Hold me. He even says, bring me some food. And he eats fish and honey in front of them. See, it's very important to know that you have in the New Testament scriptures eyewitness testimony of the apostles to the resurrection. You don't need to turn there, but in the very first few verses of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1, he says he's writing to put in order what eyewitnesses delivered to him. The apostle John, when he writes his first letter, he says the same thing. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. The apostle Paul makes the same point in 1 Corinthians 15. He says the risen Lord was seen by Peter and by the 12. And then he was seen by over 500 Christians at one time. He was seen by James and the other apostles. And last of all, seen by Paul also. It's real. This is real eyewitness testimony. Now, in any investigation, any court, eyewitness testimony is taken as good evidence. But there's several things about the apostles' eyewitness testimony that is particularly helpful, such as the fact that the Gospels were written very soon after these events, within the lifetime of that generation. As a comparison, we've all heard of Alexander the Great. Well, Alexander the Great, the closest written documents testifying to him and what he did, there's only two documents, and they come from 300 years after his life. Whereas with the New Testament, you have these documents within 30, 40 years and circulated all across the known world. It's eyewitness testimony. It's incredibly convincing. Or you might also think about the dramatic change in the apostles themselves. They go from these broken, defeated, terrified followers of a crucified criminal. I remember one of the points of crucifixion was to deter anybody from following the victim. Because look, this will happen to you too. They go from being utterly lost and ashamed to suddenly they go out across the world declaring that crucified man is alive. And more than that, that he is God. Now, for a first century pious Jew, that's an unbelievable thing to say. A crucified man is God? What could have possibly turned these men around 180 degrees? They saw this. They were willing to stand before the same authorities that put Jesus to death and challenge them and rebuke them and say, you crucified him, but he is risen and he is Lord of all. It's because they saw it. They couldn't deny it. It was true. It was real. I don't know if you've ever seen the Babylon Bee, the Christian apologists who have a kind of funny website. They've got a brilliant video about this. It's done in a funny way, a bit like a skit, but they portray the apostles gathering together the day after the crucifixion. And they're all asking, what are we going to do now? Jesus has been killed. And Peter says, I've got a great plan. Let's go and steal the body. We'll get past the soldiers somehow. And then let's tell everybody Jesus is still alive and we'll keep the whole movement going. Oh, and then all the apostles go, oh yeah, great, great plan. Yeah. And John says, hang on a minute. Why would we do that? They've just crucified him. Won't they do the same to us? What's in it for us? Are you saying everybody's going to accept it and believe us and we'll become rich and famous and powerful? No, no, says Peter. This is the best bit of the plan. We're going to be persecuted. Everybody's going to hate us. And we're all going to die horrible deaths. And all the apostles in the video, they'll go, yay, great plan, you know. Apart from John going, hang on, what? I mean, that's a funny video, but you get the point. The apostles sealed their testimony with their lives. They died for this. It's because it was real. Real eyewitnesses. They saw it. See, brothers and sisters, there's many good reasons why you should believe in the resurrection. Rational, persuasive arguments. And I think it's important to know them to strengthen your faith and to help you share the faith with others. Now, I'm not saying that's the basis of our faith. We believe in the resurrection because the Bible, the Word of God, says it is so. And in fact, I don't know if you picked up on it through Luke's account. That was something the Lord Jesus, even that day, was teaching them. On the road to Emmaus, he opens up the scriptures. And that it all happened as the scripture said. You heard it at the very end when he's with them in the upper room. And he says, this has all happened as the scripture said. Even then, he was showing them the real basis of faith. Something even more certain than eyewitness testimony is God has said it. And that is why we truly believe. But it can help strengthen our faith to know it's real eyewitness testimony. And then the scripture, the Lord also makes clear, he's been raised with a real body. He's not a ghost. He's not a spirit. This was a physical, flesh and blood body transformed, made glorious and immortal, invincible. I imagine to a lot of modern day, very scientific people today, that I probably sound like a madman saying that. But I absolutely believe it and know that it's true. Because the scripture said it. But it was a human body. And again, I suspect this is something that a lot of people don't understand. What we mean by resurrection, what the Bible means, is the healing, the raising up body and soul of a person to immortality, to glory. See, in the ancient world, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, there were lots of legends and myths about people going to the underworld and coming back, or spirits visiting people. And so skeptics might say, oh, look, the resurrection's just like that. You know, it's just another one of those myths that's been adapted. That is not the case. Because none of those other stories conceived of resurrection like this. Of the physical raising up of a dead body to immortal life. This is life out of death. Life out of nothing. It's something only the Hebrew scriptures spoke of. Body and soul. See, brothers and sisters, the good news is not just that the Lord Jesus continued to exist after death, or that he somehow revived after death. It is much, much bigger. He has demolished death. He has destroyed death. He has so defeated it. It's like he shattered it into a million pieces, swept it up, and thrown it away. Death lies crushed beneath his feet. The very power of it. And it is now only a matter of time, as the power of Christ grows and spreads across the world, that death itself will cease to be a thing. Death will cease to exist. And we have Christ's promise. He shares this new risen life with all his people. We have the greatest hope. Even when our bodies come to die, it is not the end. We will be raised, victorious, immortal, glorious. Death loses completely. The Lord's victory is total and absolute. It's real. And of course, there's great mystery to this. You look at the text and you might wonder, well, what is the full nature of this resurrection body? How was the Lord able to appear and disappear? Was that his divine power as God, unique to him? Or was that because the resurrection body is not limited by the physical order of this world? There's many questions we might have, but there's real eyewitness testimony. There's a real body. The Lord Jesus, your Savior, is alive. And so he's the real Savior. So if the resurrection is real, what difference should that make then to when you wake up tomorrow morning? How do you connect it to your daily struggles? Well, if you look again in Luke's record, There's three things I want to highlight to you that the Lord gave to the apostles, he shared with the apostles, and there are three things he gives to all of us as his people. Peace, purpose, and power. The first words that the risen Lord spoke to the apostles was peace. Peace to you. Now understand the significance of this. This is more than just the Lord giving a greeting. Hello. This is more than the Lord comforting them in this shocking moment. This is the Lord pronouncing a blessing upon them. He is bestowing upon them real peace. The peace of God. Peace with God. See, this is what it has all been for. This is why the Son of God became human. Why he died and rose again. This is what he came to do as the Redeemer. To bring us peace with God. To reconcile us to God. Our sins, your sin, it puts us at enmity with God. We have, as a race and individually, we have provoked his wrath, his righteous anger, his judgment. So again, there's a great misunderstanding about Christianity today, that Christianity is just about tolerance and a lovey-dovey, benevolent God, and let's all just hug and get along. That's not the truth of the Scriptures, not the gospel message. The gospel message is the starting point, is very different. And this is why people don't like the true Christian message. That we are sinners. We're not right with God. And we are going to face his judgment. God is holy. And we are not. We're rebels. We're corrupt. There's something deeply wrong with us, within us. And in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, whoever does not believe is already condemned. We're already in a position of condemnation. We're estranged from God. And so Christ went to the cross. He went to suffer that judgment, that punishment, that death in the place of his people. He pays the price to atone for our guilt and our sin, to satisfy the demands of righteousness. And now if he's raised, it means God accepts that sacrifice, that the debt of sin is paid for those who are Christ. So whoever belongs to Christ, who comes to him in faith, God now utterly and completely forgives, counts as right with him, righteous. And so the great end result is peace with God. There's no barrier between man and God. It means if we go through Christ, we can all begin a new relationship with God. Christ is like the ultimate relationship counselor who's brought God's wayward lost children home. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the peace he's speaking about here. And that he's announcing he's come out of the grave. He's come having made peace with God and say, look, peace to you now. So Christian, the difference the resurrection makes for every day is you can know you have peace with God. The Lord is not angry with you. He is not holding your sin against you. There is no condemnation to fear in Christ Jesus. I want you to imagine when you wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to put this in your mind that the first thing that's going to come to your thoughts is Christ says to you, peace to you. This word now stands forever as if Christ is there saying this to you at the start of each day, Christian, peace to you. This is the difference. So whatever life may throw at you, you can face it on this rock solid foundation with this confidence. It's a source of strength that cannot be taken from you. God is your Father. God is for you. The risen Christ says, peace to you. That's the first wonderful thing. That's the great difference. But there's more. The resurrection also gives us a purpose for each day. A very important part of this passage is we're told how the risen Lord gave the church a new mission. There's a new purpose. If you look at verses 47 to 48 in particular, and the risen Lord appoints them to be his witnesses, his ambassadors, his messengers, and they're to go out to preach repentance and remission of sin to all nations, to all the world. Go and make disciples. Preach this good news. So what a glorious calling to serve the risen Lord and to go and declare his victory. I honestly think there's something very profound about how God has created us as human beings. We were created that we need a sense of purpose. In order to live and be happy and be complete, we need a sense of purpose. We were created in God's image to represent him, to show his glory, and we're only truly free when we're fulfilling that. And I really think a key part of the massive moral, spiritual crisis that we're going through that's making so many people lost and miserable is there's a loss of any sense of a higher purpose. Materialism, the godlessness of our time says, what are you living for? Death just is the end of everything. So you just live for the next experience. Live for the next good thing, the next possession, the next holiday, the next relationship. As if our only purpose is just to seek out the next good feeling. But the truth is, and we all know it, you were created for something so much more, so much higher. This purpose of knowing God, and that is a purpose that is restored to us. And we're given a commission, again, to bear the image of Christ and to go into all the world with the good news, to fill it with his glory. I mean, imagine the disciples that day. They must have felt they had been complete failures. They had failed as his disciples. They'd all run off and abandoned him. That's it. What good are we? And yet Christ, so graciously, he says, no. We're just getting started. And he forgives them and re-empowers them and says, here is this great purpose now. Here we go. And again, the point for us, brothers and sisters, is this is what you need to remember at the start of every day. This is how the resurrection changes everything. Your life has an amazing purpose in God's hands. You are here to make Christ known, to declare this good news, to live for him. There's no greater purpose. There's nothing greater to live for than this, to serve the King of the universe. It doesn't mean we're all called to be missionaries or to be in office in the church. Some of you, I'm sure, will be called to that, but this is a purpose that we're meant to fulfill wherever we are, whatever our particular lot in life that's appointed to us, by living for Christ, by honoring him, by praising him, by speaking of him. You are part of this great rescue mission and this extending of the kingdom. And so even the smallest things that you do in day-to-day life, washing the dishes and chatting with a neighbor over the fence, if you do it in a way that it's for Christ, to honor Christ, living for Christ, doing it his way by his commandments and looking to share the good news with others, whatever opportunities you get, it transforms everything. Everything comes under this wonderful, glorious purpose. What you do matters. Even the smallest things. And so the resurrection should give you this amazing purpose. You're a witness to Christ the Savior. And finally, what other difference does it make? Well, the Lord promised the apostles power to help. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Now, of course, that refers to the promise of the Holy Spirit, who then came down upon the church just a few weeks later at Pentecost to give the church power. power to overcome fear, to speak of Christ, power to endure trials, power to be holy, power to love, even to love your enemies, power to overcome all the works of the evil one. This empowering of the Spirit, that there is the closest possible connection to the resurrection of Christ. This power comes to us because Jesus is Lord. Because he is worthy and ascends to the highest place in heaven, he is given this gift of the Spirit by the Father and then shares it with us. And so the Spirit comes as the ultimate witness that his resurrection is real. And he takes the things of Christ who is risen in heaven and he brings them down to us and he makes them so real to us. And he makes known to us and works in us powerfully. Brothers and sisters, the difference the resurrection makes is every day you can look for the promise of the Father, for this power, that he will take the spiritual things of Christ, his glory, and he will make it so real to you. He'll fill you with joy. He'll sustain you with power. He'll help you do bold things for Christ you could never do by yourself. It is the power of the risen Lord working in you. He unites you to Christ. So look for it. Pray for it. Come in weakness. Come when you're in need and overwhelmed to look for this power. Brothers and sisters, we've only scratched the surface. But the resurrection is real. Jesus Christ is really alive, risen from the dead. And it gives us peace, purpose, and power for each day. May the Lord open your heart to receive it this morning. Amen.